How many of you guys like to go to the movies? Anybody like to in the theaters? People still go to those, right? So I was several years ago, back when the new, you know, some of the Batman movies had come out. I went and saw one of the Batman movies at that time, and it was so good. I don't know if you're a Batman fan, but I am. And I saw it, and I was telling everybody about it. I told my friends, I told my coworkers, I told my family. I even told this random guy at a gas station. I had never talked to him before. I just said, "Hey, have you seen the new Batman movie?" He was like, "No." I was like, "Yeah, it's really good. You got to go see it." I mean, that's one of the few movies I've seen in the theaters more than once. Like, I actually paid to see it twice. It was that good. We naturally tell other people stuff that we're excited about. Today, we are starting a new series called The Ministry of the Gospel of Christ. And we're going to be talking about sharing, not about a movie, but about sharing about Jesus and the gospel with other people. So we're going to get started in Romans chapter 15. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 15. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome. Romans 15, starting in verse 18. "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us to speak to us. May we be listening this morning to hear what it is you want to say. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak. We are listening. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Paul is talking about fulfilling the ministry of the gospel of Christ. He says he's brought the Gentiles to obedience. That's basically another way of saying bringing them to salvation, bringing them to a place of surrendering to Jesus in obedience. And he says, how did he reach them? It was done by word and by deed and by signs and wonders. And all of that is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, in this part, first part of the series, we're going to look at that first part, by word. By word. So turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to take a look at Jesus' ministry. Jesus is our example. Would you agree? I've heard it said this way: Jesus not only came as Messiah, he also came as model. We want to learn how to love our enemies? Look at how Jesus loved people who were his enemies. We want to learn how to do anything? Look at what Jesus did. So that's what we're going to do to start out with. Matthew 4, starting in verse 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And then jump down to verse 23. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains." Did you know that Jesus doesn't want you to be in pain? He healed people who had various diseases and just pain. "Those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and paralytics, and he healed them." So what was Christ's ministry? Well, he went, right? He didn't stay. He went throughout all Galilee. So he went, and he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed the sick. We've talked about that before. That's how the gospel writer, the apostle Matthew, writes about it. From Paul's perspective, he wrote it by saying, by word, by deed, and by signs and wonders. It's just a different way of looking at it. We've also looked at this before, so I'm just going to kind of quickly review it. If you turn a couple pages over, Matthew 10, he sends out the 12 apostles. Matthew 10, verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them." He gives them some instructions, and we pick up in verse 7. "And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons." So that ministry is just what Jesus was doing. Jesus gave the apostles his ministry. Now look at the end of Matthew, Matthew 28. This is the Great Commission. Verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. Go. Go, therefore. That's part of the commission, is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Or you could say instructed, like we looked at a minute ago. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So the apostles had the same ministry as Jesus, and all believers right here are given the same ministry as Jesus. You might put it this way. We're all called to demonstrate the kingdom of God, or to spread the good news by word, by deed, how we act, and by signs and wonders. I've got this verse up here, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, which is what we call a pastor, as a shepherd, the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So the pastors and teachers are for equipping who? The saints. To do what? To do the work of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus. We're all called as believers to do the same things that Jesus did. So my question is, are we doing it? Are we spreading the gospel with our words, by what we say, our message? Are we seeking the lost? We come to church, we grow, and we get built up, we get equipped, but are we seeking non-believers? Am I seeking out non-believers, trying to talk to them, trying to share Jesus with them? Now, let me just say this, you know, word, deed, and signs and wonders, there's a lot of overlap. Okay, they're not necessarily three isolated things. They kind of weave in together. But today we're going to focus a lot on what we say, the message that we carry. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to kind of be here the rest of the time. This is the story about the Samaritan woman. Jesus is passing through Samaria. He sits at this well. And his disciples go out to buy food, and this woman comes up. So we pick up kind of in verse 7. John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. This is a long passage, so I'm going to kind of hop around a little bit for the parts that we're going to focus on today. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Excuse me. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Drop down to verse 24. "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. Excuse me. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the town and were coming to him. Drop down to verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. All right, there's a lot of really good stuff in this. So today we're going to be looking at it through the lens of reaching the lost with our words, evangelism. All right, now that's sometimes a word we don't necessarily like to talk about because we like to say, oh, that's what an evangelist does, right? Yes, and we're all called to evangelize to the people in our lives. And there's an evangelist I've been listening to his sermons. His name is Jay John. And so a lot of what I'm sharing today kind of comes from some of his thoughts and stuff like that. So I want to give credit to him. But how can we reach the lost? We can reach the lost in a variety of ways. But today we're going to talk about three different ways. The first way is by praying. Now, I'm not just saying like praying in general per se. I'm talking about praying specifically. How many people in your life do you know that are unbelievers? Friends, family, coworkers? Take just 10 seconds to think about who in my life is a non-believer? And jot their name down if you got a piece of paper handy. Or at least make a mental note of it. I encourage you, think of two or three names. Pray for those people. Are we praying for them to come to know the Lord? Am I praying? I'll be honest with you. I don't think about it very often. And that's awful. I'm a pastor, and I don't think about it. So I get it if you're like, oh, I kind of forgot to be praying for people. I mean, I pray for a lot of other things, but I don't. Am I thinking about the lost, like the people I know? Let's pray specifically for those people. I would encourage you, whatever name came to your mind, don't second guess it. That's probably the Lord talking to you. Text that person today. Call that person today. Just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. How are things going? Just start the conversation. I encourage you to do that. Next, we can pray. So pray for non-believers that you do know. Next, we pray for opportunities to talk to non-believers that we don't know. So like if you're going to the mall or something like that, before you go, pray for opportunities to talk to people. 2 weeks ago was the fall festival over at the park, and our life group got together, and we wanted to just do this. We wanted to go out and talk to people, and look for opportunities to share the light of Jesus and to pray for people. So we met together, and we prayed before we went out. We prayed for opportunities, and Jesus answered those prayers. We got a lot of people to talk to, people to pray for. So we got to be intentional to pray up front. This Samaritan woman crosses paths with Jesus. And this was an opportunity to reach the lost. And Jesus recognized it. I mean, he could have just ignored her. I mean, she was a woman in that day and age. They didn't really talk to women in public. I mean, that's why his disciples were like, wondering why he was talking to her. But he used that as an opportunity to share the gospel of himself, right? So how much more when we cross paths with someone, hey, this is an opportunity. And just go for it. We can't expect the lost to come to church. We're called to go to them. Do you see what I'm saying? And I'm feeling more and more in my heart, I have been the Christian who is love coming to church, love growing and getting connected with the body of Christ and growing and producing fruit for myself. But I've not been the Christian who goes out and actually spreads the good news. And I want us to be a church that does that. All right, so the praying is kind of on the preparation side. Once you're actually around people, the next part, number two, is we can reach the lost by caring. Just say hello, strike up a friendly conversation. I was at Chick-fil-A a couple days ago, and there was just a gentleman there, an older gentleman sitting by himself. He was reading a book, and I just thought, oh, I'll just ask him what he's reading. And so I said, hey, what you reading? Turns out he was reading a book. It was a biography of a missionary to Africa, I think. And he had another book on the table. I think it was called Atonement or something. He was a Christian. I didn't even know. It started a really good conversation. How many times have I walked by people reading a book and missed that? It's just a simple, easy way to just strike up a conversation. Hey, what are you reading? In the airport. You see everybody reading. Everybody's on their phone. Nobody wants to talk to each other anymore. Let's look up, right? Let's look up and see. These are opportunities the Lord is giving us. How many times have I missed that because I was too busy or I just wasn't paying attention? A part of it is also being, so we can be interested. That's the first thing. Just be interested when you're caring. Just show them that you actually care and be interested in what they're doing, what their life is like. Next, you can be intentional. Be intentional. So like when I go to the store now, I didn't used to do this, but now when I go and I'm kind of getting out of the car, I'm saying, Lord, would you give me opportunities to talk to people about you? Would you give me opportunities to pray for people so that you can heal them? I mean, it doesn't have to be healing. It can be, but just sharing the light of Jesus. And so when I'm going through, I'm getting my groceries or whatever, but my focus is not on my to-do list or my shopping list. My focus is on other people. For once in my life, I'm not thinking about myself. And what do you know? It brings life to me. It's a blessing to me when I'm thinking about others. I'm not saying we can't think about our shopping list and that. I'm just saying, like, is there any time in your day, any time in your week where you're focused intentionally on other people? And like, Lord, I want to talk to someone about you. That's what I'm trying to do, is stir us up to think outside of ourselves a little bit. A lot of these are just real practical suggestions. They're not necessarily like groundbreaking. I can't believe I've never thought of that. It's more of like, oh yeah, I just need to start doing it. It's really a call to action. We don't have to be super spiritual and start out with something like, you know, straight out of the gate that way. I mean, you can just start with saying hello and then steer the conversation to Jesus, you know, if it turns that way. So there was a lady, I was in the store, and I saw her kind of down the aisle, and she was in one of the motorized wheelchairs, and she had her cane, and she was standing next to the wheelchair with the cane trying to reach something on the top shelf. I mean, it was way up there. She was literally using her cane to do it. So I come walking by, and I said, hey, can I help you out? She said, sure. And so I, you know, pull it down. It was juice or something. And so I used that as an opportunity to strike up a conversation. And turns out she was a Christian. She, her dad was a minister. She was in some pain, and so because she had the cane and everything. And so I said, can I pray for you? She said, sure. We prayed. Jesus took away her pain, and then she prayed for me. Just because she could tell that I cared. It wasn't like I did necessarily anything like amazing, but she saw that I cared and took the time. So care about others. Be interested. Be intentional. Another thing you can do is like, you can offer to pray for someone, like a waiter. If you're at a sit-down restaurant and you got someone waiting on your table. I mean, I used to be a server. I served at Applebee's for 2 weeks. I was terrible. I needed those tips so bad because I was awful at it. But I get it. A lot of servers don't like to wait tables on Sunday. And to be honest, they'll tell you the reason is because church people, they're rude and they're stingy. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that's us per se. I'm just saying that the stereotype is that. What a better opportunity for us to change that and bring the light of Jesus. I think I may have shared this before, but I can't remember, so I'll share it now. I was with another pastor years ago. We were at Cracker Barrel. How many of you guys like Cracker Barrel? Biscuits? How many are biscuit people? How many are cornbread people? How many are biscuits and cornbread? Okay. If it's got butter on it, I'll eat it. So I'm talking to this pastor. We're just talking about whatever. And then the waiter comes up, and the pastor says to the waiter, he said, hey, we're getting ready to pray for our food. Is there anything we could pray for you about? He didn't prompt me to tell me that he was going to ask the waiter if we could pray. He just came out and said it, and it threw me off guard. And I was like, that's awesome. And the kid said, I mean, he's probably 20. He said, yeah, I've got like a final exam for some really smart class tomorrow. I can't remember what it was. And then he had to go, so he left. And then, so we prayed for him while we prayed for our food. Again, it's just like, it might seem like a little thing, but I bet that made a big difference in that kid's life, that guy's life. Those little opportunities make a difference. They make a difference. Hey, can I pray for you? Or how can I pray for you today? I was another store. I was walking out, I'm walking by, and I see this guy in a wheelchair. He's not really using the wheelchair. He's just sitting there. I think he was waiting on the bus. And he was kind of doubled over in pain. And so I struck up a conversation with him, and I was like, hey, are you hurt or something? Are you in pain? And he said, yeah, I've got stomach pain. So we prayed, and Jesus takes away his stomach pain. And then I said, is there anything else I can pray for you about? And he said, yeah, I'm trying to get off heroin. And he just told me that. And I was like, whoa. I said, are you feeling cravings right now? He said, I was when you came up, but I'm not so much anymore. It was just, he said, it was like at a 10 before, but now it's like at a 2. So we prayed, and Jesus took away his craving. And then he said he had lost his kids, like his kids got taken away. He had 6 kids that got taken away from him because of the drugs. So we prayed for the Lord to restore him to his kids. Are we looking for opportunities to bring the light to the darkness? We don't have to hold up a sign that says turn or burn. There's other ways to do it. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying there are other ways to do it that are more relational. That evangelist I mentioned, J. John, thank you. he talks about this passage, and he makes a note of something I never noticed before. If you look at the Samaritan woman, what does she first call Jesus? A Jew, right? Kind of standoffish. Then she calls him a sir. Then she calls him a prophet. Then she calls him Messiah. Are we softening people's hearts toward Jesus? Are we helping them become less standoffish towards Christians and towards Jesus? And like, wait a minute, there's something here that I've never noticed before. I've never had a Christian talk to me like this. This is nice. I like this. Are we helping them on their journey to finding Christ, planting seeds, watering it, and when you get the chance, reaping, helping them to actually, you know, come to the Lord? Or are we hindering them? Are we helping or hindering? Now, our part's to do the best we can to share the love of Christ. Sometimes we do it well, and people still don't respond well. And that's their part. But our part is to share the love of Christ as best as we know how with the leading of the Holy Spirit. The third way that we can reach the lost. Oh, I forgot to say this. Take the initiative. I've kind of already said that. It's our part to take the initiative. When we see the opportunity, don't wait for them to come to you. They don't even know that you're thinking about it. Go to them, right? We're called to go. All right, so we can reach the lost by sharing. Not every time do you get the opportunity to share fully, like the gospel or whatever, but sometimes you do. Are we prepared to share the gospel? If someone were to ask you, hey, what is the gospel? Could you explain it in like a minute or two? So share the gospel. And I encourage you to practice it. There's many ways to share the gospel. There's all types of evangelism tools that you can get, that you can look up online. I'd say probably the easiest way that I've heard that almost everybody who's a Christian can do. The one Bible verse almost every Christian knows, what? John 3:16, right? Just use that. If someone says, hey, what's the gospel? Oh, let me tell you, man, God loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you. So if you believe in him, you get to have eternal life in heaven. It didn't have to be super, super, super long. When you're giving, if you have more time, yeah, you can go into it. But a lot of times you don't, especially if you're just out in the community. So my encouragement to you is this, is practice, for lack of a better term. I mean, Paul says in Philippians, I think it's 4:9, what you have learned from me and seen from me, put it into practice, right? This is a great thing for us to do in life groups. Partner up with somebody and say, hey, I'm going to practice sharing the gospel, and you're going to be the non-believer. So you get used to what it's like to talk to a non-believer, because non-believers don't understand things like he's the propitiation for our sins. I mean, some believers don't even understand that, right? They don't understand. So use less Christianese, if you will. Just say, Jesus paid the price for my mistakes. It's still true, but it relates to them. So find a way to share the gospel. Practice it with somebody, and then have them do it back. Take turns, you know? Next, share your testimony, or share your story. There's another way of saying that. If someone said, hey, why are you a Christian? Would we have deer in the headlights? Or would we say, oh, let me tell you. Can you share your testimony in about a minute or two? Now, sometimes we think of sharing our testimony from a church standpoint where we'll give like a longer testimony, maybe 5-10 minutes, and there's a lot of detail, and that's great, and that's very appropriate for a church setting. But when you're standing outside of a Kroger, that you may not have all that time. So just share like the quick version, you know? What was it like before you became a Christian? What's it like now? And we can be creative, right? So I met this guy. He's awesome. Ever since I've met him, my life is so much better. I am healthier mentally. I'm healthier emotionally. I'm even healthier physically. I found like my purpose in life. I'm seeing my life transformed for the better. And I'm seeing other people's lives transformed for the better. Like they're coming out of addictions. They're coming out of depression, coming out of anxiety, coming out of sickness and pain. You got to meet this guy. Who's the guy? His name is Jesus. Like we can be creative. God has given us a personality for a reason. Make it your own version. You don't have to use mine or whatever. That's just an example. It's not a formula. We're just trying to soften their heart towards Jesus and point them in the right direction. Again, this is another great thing to practice in life groups. We're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What a better time to do it than at the church building, right? So, you know, partner up. Hey, I'm going to give my testimony. And then the other person, you know, give their testimony. You can give feedback. Hey, that was really good. That was really meaningful. Are we a church that is serious about the ministry of the gospel of Christ? In other words, are we truly seeking to do what Christ commanded us to do? I think we are. I think this church is serious about that. So I'm calling us to action. If in our hearts we are like, yeah, I want to do what Christ has commanded us to do, I encourage you to do that this week. So the woman leaves her jar and she goes into the town and says, come see this man who told me all I ever did. Can this man be the Christ? Sorry, this thing's falling off on me. And so she shares what she experienced, how she experienced Jesus. That's essentially what it is. You're just sharing your encounter with Jesus, sharing your experience. Introduce them to Jesus and he takes over. What are we going to do to reach the lost in our community? What are we going to do to reach the lost today? This week. One Samaritan lady shared how she encountered Jesus at a water fountain. And it sparked a revival in that town. I've heard it said this way, the purpose of life is to know Christ and to make him known. Do you know Christ? If you do, are you making him known? Am I making him known? This is not a, you should feel bad about yourself. This is like a, hey, I'm dropping the ball here. I want to get back to doing what Christ has called us to do. Not just growing in, individually and as a church, but actually reaching people who don't know Jesus. I want to challenge you for the next 2 weeks to make him known, make Christ known. Just start. Even if you don't get all the way to someone becoming saved, that's okay. At least we're planting those seeds. We're watering. I want to challenge you to be praying, to be caring, and to be sharing. Being interested, taking the initiative, praying for the lost, praying for opportunities to meet the lost. Last thing. Acts chapter 4, verse 20, Peter and John are speaking. And they say, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Just like when I saw that Batman movie. I just couldn't help but tell everybody. I didn't care what they thought. I was just excited to share it. And you know what? They were excited to hear it. When you share what you're passionate about, people a lot of times are open to it. Are you passionate about Jesus? If you are, let's share it. Right? When I share about a Batman movie and that person goes and then they see it for themselves, they're like, hey, this is awesome. They see it for themselves. When people really get to see Jesus, they want more. They want more. So introduce them to Jesus. Let's go and do the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you talk to people that nobody else wants to talk to. And in this culture, this woman would have been one of those. Lord, I thank you that you see us for who we are, who you made us to be. I thank you that you love us so much, that you're willing to break this social tradition or social norms to reach the lost. One person to spark a revival in a whole town. Lord, may we be that person in our lives. May we be the person who shares what Christ has done in our lives. Would you give us boldness to do that? I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.